Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is Internal Revenue Service Criminal Investigation Special Agent, Brian Watson, to talk to us about tax filing season and tax scams. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome. You're based in the Phoenix field office covering Arizona, New Mexico. You come out here a couple of times a year?
Yeah, a couple of times a year. We obviously hit Albuquerque because it's the biggest media market, but we obviously know there's a lot of people in southern New Mexico that need to hear our messages as well.
And what is your message this time?
Well, it's tax season. And, you know, for some people, it can be kind of scary. But I want to share some ideas and tips on how to file online using irs.gov. And then also the tax scammers know it's a busy time of year. So there's a lot of scams out there that we want the people to be aware of. So, you know, we can talk about the biggest tax scam. The one that we see the most is the phone scam, an IRS impersonation scam. It's been going on since 2013. And it's a high-pressure phone call. The person on the other end of the line, or it can also be a robocall, like a recording. The person or the recording will tell you you're under arrest, there's going to be a lawsuit against you, or you're going to be deported, all these really horrible things. And they want you to pay some money immediately. So the key message we want everyone to know is the IRS does not call people and demand money over the phone. In fact, we rarely call people. And if we do, it's usually a pre-existing relationship, like you're being audited or you're dealing with some sort of collection activity. We're very old school. We send you a paper letter in the U.S. mail explaining the situation, giving you a chance to challenge it, giving you a chance to mail in additional documents. So please, 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 if you get one of these IRS phone calls that's not from the IRS, just hang up. Hang up. Do not engage with these people.
Well, part of the government also are Social Security scams.
And that's a big one that we started seeing in 2019. And it's very similar to the IRS impersonation scam, but instead of saying you're going to go to jail because you didn't pay your taxes, they say there's some sort of fraudulent activity related to your Social Security account, and they're going to shut off your benefits. How scary is that? You know, you're retired, you're living off your Social Security benefits, and they say that direct deposit's going to stop. And what do? They're asking for money. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, but people panic. Because they feel it's the government and there's that immediacy. They don't give you any time to think. They want you to panic, send them some money, and then you're out of luck. So just hang up on those people too. It's a scam. Contact Social Security Administration directly. Go to the office if you have to. Call them over the phone, but do not engage with these people either.
Social Security never calls people again like the IRS unless there's an ongoing relationship.
Sometimes these phone scammers actually have personal information for you, which can make it kind of intimidating. But I found that they're just using auto dialers, meaning the numbers are just automatically being dialed and they'll talk to anybody and everybody. They've called my government-issued cell phone multiple times claiming to be from the IRS. So the key is, I know everyone listening is going, oh yeah, I would not fall for that scam. But is there somebody in your circle of family or friends that could possibly fall for it? And maybe it's an older person. Maybe it's a younger person, someone living on their own for the first time, away at college, away in the military, and they don't know how things work. And they figure, oh, if the IRS calls, I better respond. Tell these people, IRS and Social Security will not call and demand money. And then tell five people if you get a call. Go on Facebook, go on Instagram and say, I just got one of those scam calls. It's fake. I hung up on them. That's how we're going to stop this crime from continuing.
Another word for that scamming is phishing. So they're phishing for information, too, with banks and other organizations.
Right. Phishing, and that's phishing with a PH because it's phony. Phony emails, phony text messages. It's been the number one item on our IRS Dirty Dozen for the last 3 years. The Dirty Dozen is a list that we compile of the 12 biggest tax and financial related scams. Now, the 2020 edition usually will come out probably sometime in March. But for 2017, 18, and 19, phishing was number one. And there's so many different varieties of emails. It might be an email purportedly from the IRS saying you have a small refund from 2 years ago. Click on this link and claim it. And that's not how we do business. We send letters. You know, it might be from your bank saying your account's been locked because of potential fraudulent activity and they want you to click on a link. And, you know, most people realize these are scam emails, but they send thousands of these emails every day. They only have to get lucky once in a while, hence the term phishing. You know, when you go fishing, you don't catch a fish every time you drop your line in the water. So we want people just to delete those emails. If you ever have a question, contact IRS directly or contact your bank directly or whoever's trying to supposedly reach out to you.
That's very important, especially like you said, for young people who are just starting out. Let's get back to what is new for this tax season.
Right. So one of the things we're offering this year is a pilot program called the Identity Protection PIN Program. So in years past, we've had a huge problem at the IRS with identity theft as it relates to filing tax returns. A lot of criminals out there figured out they could steal someone's identity, social security number, get their dependent social security numbers, file tax returns, and basically steal money from the government. If someone filed a tax return without your permission, stole your identity, you would receive a PIN number for the next tax year. Basically a password for your tax return, if you think about it that way. And we've been doing that, and it's worked, because that way people, they don't become victims year after year, because that would be horrible. So for 2020, 20 states have an opt-in program where you can say, you know what, to make me sleep a little bit better at night, I'd like to have that special PIN just so no one else could possibly file a tax return in my name. And so Arizona and New Mexico, the two states I cover, are luckily part of this system. So you can go on to irs.gov and ask to opt in. The IRS will send you a 6-digit number that's your PIN, and you have to renew it each year if you decide to do it. And also, anybody that's going to be on your tax return has to have that PIN. So you would have to select all your family members, anybody who's a dependent. But my personal prediction is we always roll things out slowly. Pilot them, eventually everybody will have the option to opt in nationwide, and then at some point it might be mandatory. So we also piloted electronic filing years ago, where we didn't just make it available for everybody. We selected certain states, and we tried it out just to make sure you get all the bugs out. You don't want to just throw everything out there and then see what happens. You want to make sure you start slowly and make sure it works.
And a lot of people are doing that now. So many people now are using the computer, are doing their own, and you do have free online service.
We do. So yeah, you mentioned electronic filing. 89% of taxpayers file electronically, and that's up even 2% from the year before. I mean, our goal is to get 100, but we may never get there because some people prefer the paper, but that's all right. 70% of Americans can file online at irs.gov for free. If you make $69,000 or less, you can go to irs.gov, and there's a button there about filing your tax return, and it opens up a page. And we have a partnership with a bunch of different companies. We have agreements to work with them, and you pick a company, and you just start filing your return. Make sure you have all your information, gather all your W-2s, your 1099s for interest, any deductions you have. You want to have everyone's social security numbers for your spouse and or kids, dependents, and things like that. And you can go on there and file for free. And then if you're getting a refund, you file electronically. Most people get their refund in less than 3 weeks.
But is there more problems with that? Like people can hack into your computer and get your information?
No. So luckily, you know, knock on wood, the IRS system has never been hacked to that degree. What happens when we talk about identity theft, it happens in other places. It happens at data breaches at big companies that hackers get into. And me personally, I've had to get new credit cards because a company that I did business with got hacked. Or these phishing schemes that we just mentioned, I've seen a stat that 90% of data breaches in terms of social security numbers being compromised is because of the phishing scams. The criminals ask for your social security number and you give it to them because you've been tricked. You click on a link, you fill in, you provide your own social security number. So biggest thing is guard your financial information like you would guard your money. You know, I don't walk around with my wallet open up and dropping money here and there. I mean, I keep my money locked up, either in a bank account or, you know, I keep a little bit in my wallet. You don't want to give your social security number out unless you absolutely have to. Like for your doctor. I go to the doctor. They ask for it a lot of times on the little new patient form. I don't provide it. They don't need it. Some data breaches actually happen at doctor's offices. They'll throw records away or people will break in, identity thieves and things like that. So guard your information. But no, filing online on irs.gov is extremely safe.
And you do get a PIN as well.
If you choose. So the PIN for New Mexico residents, that's an opt-in this year. that's your choice. And like I was predicting, I think eventually all Americans will be able to opt in. Just think of it as a password for your tax return, extra layer of security. Most of us now, when we go to our bank account and try to request information, they will send you that little temporary password for that's good for 10 minutes to log in. It's just like a secondary layer of protection. So I think government is definitely realizing we need to amp things up a little bit to protect all the taxpayers in this country.
There's a new tax form for 2019?
Yes, there's a new form called the 1040 SR, and the SR stands for senior. And people might be familiar with the 1040 EZ. It's a very simple return made for people who have more just like a W-2 wages. When I say W-2, I mean like wages from a job or interest. Simple return, not complicated stuff like having rental properties or a side business. So the 1040 SR looks a lot like the 1040 EZ. It actually is a bigger font. And it's for people that are, I believe it's 65 and over, and who have a simpler return. But if you file online electronically, it'll print out the return that is most appropriate for you. It's kind of like bigger font, and it's just a simplified return.
What is a ghost preparer?
When I say preparer, I mean a paid tax return preparer. And more than half of American taxpayers actually hire someone to do their tax return. And it's a personal choice. It all depends how complex your personal tax situation is. But taxes, I understand, can be scary. It's almost speaking another language to some people, and they're kind of intimidated by it. What we are warning people is to stay away from a ghost preparer. And what are the traits of a ghost preparer? First of all, they don't sign the return. They don't put their name on it. Because if you're a paid return preparer, even if you were given a dollar to prepare someone's return, you have to put your name on there and you have to put what's called your PTIN, which stands for Prepare Tax Identification Number. Well, ghost preparers don't put that on there. Also, ghost preparers tend to like cash. You can't find them because they move around. We've seen people that I would describe as ghost preparers come into town, set up shop in a hotel room, prepare a bunch of returns with false deductions, take only cash, and then when April 15th's over, they're out of town and you have no way of getting in touch with them.
And do they submit the tax return for you?
They do. But the problem is the bad preparers are the ones that pad your return with deductions you're not entitled to. They'll put dependents that aren't even yours on there. And then it gets filed. And then what happens is the IRS does all the work matching everything up after the return is filed, even after the refund has been sent out, and we find something wrong with it, we're going to send the letter to you. Remember, we don't call, we don't send emails. We're going to send a letter to you saying, we've reviewed your return and there's a few things we need to go over. And all of a sudden you look at your return and go, whoa, I didn't have that. That's not my child. That's not my dependent. I didn't work there. I didn't have that credit. And then you end up ultimately having to pay back the difference. What's the false items on there you would have to pay back, plus possibly penalties and interest as well. So avoid those ghost preparers, or as I call shady preparers, just ones that are out there trying to make a quick buck. But here's the important thing. The vast majority of return preparers out there are honest and ethical. They are the backbone of our tax compliance system. So I don't want people to be scared. Just be scared of the ghost preparers. But the normal tax return preparers, the ones that you've been using for years, they're very trustworthy.
Just make sure they sign and they have their preparer tax ID number.
Right. And a good return preparer, let's focus on some more positive aspects. They will answer all your questions. They will ask for records from you to back things up, because they're putting their name on it. They want it to be accurate. But they will go over the return with you line by line and explain what each thing is. And they'll answer questions. And then also a good return preparer, you can find them in August, September, October, if you were to get an inquiry from the IRS.
And also, you'll be subject to audits more often. Is that correct?
If your return has false information, absolutely. Now, the government does a lot of matching. So let's say you work a job and you get a Form W-2 in January. It just shows your wages and the deductions. You get a copy, but the employer also sends that to the IRS, and we do matching. So it's real simple. It just everything matches up. And when something doesn't show up, that can trigger not necessarily an audit, but just a letter, you know, asking for things. But also, if someone files, we have very good computers that find dependents that are showing up on multiple returns, or we have ways of finding things that are obviously false, and then we'll reach out to you as well. So yes, you can be audited by going to a return preparer that is putting things on your return that you're not entitled to.
So how do you choose a paid preparer?
Well, let's say I moved into town and I didn't know anybody and I needed a dentist. Am I just going to open up the phone book? Do I go to a search engine and just say Las Cruces dentist? Am I going to pick the first one that pops up in the search results? Probably not. That's not a real good way of doing it. The better way would be talking to your coworkers. Hey, I'm new into town. Do you have a dentist that you like? Do you have a doctor you like? Or same thing, let's say you're getting married. Who's a good caterer? Who's a good photographer? Word of mouth is so much better than just picking the first thing that's out there. Or social media reviews where people post stuff. That's a good thing too. You can go to the Better Business Bureau. You can go to irs.gov. We have a practitioner site where it lists people that are in compliance with us, that they're registered, they have a P10 that prepare tax identification number I referenced earlier. But I would start with that if you're going to choose a good return preparer.
Well, you talked about irs.gov. There's also a phone number or the local office number.
Right. So we like to send people to irs.gov first because there's no lines, you know, and you're not going to get put on hold. That's the great thing. And there's forms on there. There's publications. There's videos. There's all kinds of great things on irs.gov. If you prefer to talk on the phone, we have an 800 number. 1-800-829-1040, so 800-829-1040, and you can talk to a live human being. Sometimes you might be put on hold because it is tax season. And then also, we have IRS offices in every major city. So I know we have them in Albuquerque, we have them in Las Cruces. And you know what the great thing is now? It's all appointment only. Because before, like in my office in Tucson, we would see lines out the door during tax season. And I always felt so bad for these people because most of them work or they have kids or they're taking care of someone and they're just wasting their time standing in line. So you can go to irs.gov and there's a section on contacting your local office, punch in your zip code, gives you the closest office, and you call a number and you make an appointment. So that way you walk in and you're treated with respect. Your time is valuable. And also too, it's good for our employees there. So they don't have a line out the door where they're stressing out as well. So we have help. We want people to be armed with good information and we want to make tax filing as easy as possible.
What else should people be aware of?
In terms of scams or more
your
specifically?
Tax preparation and what to do for this year, especially in getting ready to do your taxes.
So, we talked about choosing a good return preparer. Some of the red flags that I want to warn people about return preparers, any return preparer who claims they can get you a big refund and they haven't even seen your information. I mean, you might be owing money because some people owe money at the end of the year because they did not have enough withheld. So that's a huge red flag. And also, when you go to a paid return preparer, they should base their fees on the amount of time and work they do on your return. If you have a real simple return, it should be a lot less expensive. If it's more complicated, it takes more hours to do it or minutes, and so you can charge more. The return preparers that base their fee on a percentage of your refund is a huge red flag. And you might think, well, they're only asking for 10 or 20% of my refund. Well, you know, what if they did your return and it came out to zero or that you owed? Then they would be paying you money on that theory. But when they base it on a percentage, it's a built-in incentive for them to pad your return with false deductions. You should be able to ask your return preparer, how much is this going to be ahead of time? How much is it? And I mean, we see people paying hundreds of dollars for very simple returns, and that's a huge red flag. So just don't go to people like that because they actually will drum up a lot of business by word of mouth. Because everyone starts talking, oh, so-and-so got me a huge refund. And they might be one of those ghost preparers that we talked about earlier who don't put their name on it, don't put their identification number on it, and most likely are taking cash.
Well, there are organizations like AARP that do free preparations for people.
Right, and we have that information on irs.gov as well. It depends on where you live, but there are. We have AARP, we have VITA programs at local universities. Goodwill does taxpayer assistance. And those programs are usually reserved for people who make $56,000 or less or over age 60 or over, where you can get that free, like one-on-one help and sit down with someone. Our VITA program is voluntary income tax assistance, I believe. I'd have to double check that. But IRS employees train community volunteers who want to help people. And we teach them how to prepare a return. usually more on the simple side. I mean, if it's a really complicated return, you're going to have to go to someone with the expertise on dealing with, say, partnerships and rental properties and Schedule C businesses and things like that. But VITA programs are available all over our country, and it's a great resource to get free tax help.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to come down to Las Cruces to talk to us about tax filing season, tax scams, and preparations. Again, my guest, Internal Revenue Service Criminal Investigation Special Agent Brian Watson.
Thank you, Emily. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Emily Guerra.